This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, Jim. Hello, everyone. Good to be with you today.
And you know, it has been so long since we've had a share-a-thon. I think we ought to have one soon.
We should.
We've actually got one scheduled for early November. And the only reason we mention that right now is so you can start saving up for it, for one thing.
Save up your pennies.
But the other thing is we will need some volunteers to answer the phone. So just think about that. It's not hard work at all. You come in for a couple of hours into the studio, and as we ask listeners to call in with donations, you merely answer the phone, jot down their name, address, phone number, their amount of their donation, that sort of thing. Very easy, but we can't have a share-a-thon without some volunteers. So if you can volunteer, please give us a call at 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
Well, the Catholic Church is a place of community for sure. People coming together of all different ages and backgrounds to share their faith together. And as many parishes around the country and here locally, they establish various programs to encourage community. And St. Elizabeth Seton, here locally in Carmel, has a program called the Silver Lining Program. And our guest today is Sister Carol Kimes, a Sister of Providence and the Director of Pastoral Care at St. Elizabeth Seton, to tell us all about the program. So welcome to Faith in Action, Sister.
Thank you, Bridget. Thanks, Jim. Very happy to be here.
And before we got started, I noticed that the initials after your name, SP, Sisters of Providence, is there. And I'm so excited because I love the Sisters of Providence. I was taught at St. John the Baptist in Fort Wayne by the Sisters of Providence. So I have an affinity for the sisters. Tell us a little bit about your order and how you became a sister.
Well, Bridget, first of all, let me tell you, I am also from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
I went to St. Patrick's. I've been a Sister of Providence for 41 years. The Sisters of Providence were founded by St. Mother Theodore Guerin back in 1840 and was canonized a saint in 2006. So she came to the United States from France in order to build a ministry or work to create a place for women to come to become religious, but also to provide, and she brought Catholic education into the state of Indiana. So that's a brief background, but we are St. Mary of the Woods, not St. Mary Notre Dame.
Okay.
And we have gotten vocations because those two communities got mixed up.
Oh, okay, well, that works out well sometimes. Anytime we mention St. Mary of the Woods, I always like to mention, I lived in Terre Haute for 10 years, and it's a short, I don't know, hour and a half drive or so from Indianapolis here. It's worth going just to tour the campus. You drive through Terre Haute, across the river into West Terre Haute, and down the other road, whatever its name is, over there, and you get right to St. Mary of the Woods, and all of a sudden, it's like you just turn back the clock 100 years. You cross a little stone bridge onto the campus there, and there's beautiful, magnificent trees and shrines and different things and buildings that have been there forever, an outdoor station of the cross. And boy, it's quite a campus to see. Sister, do you agree?
Oh, I agree. And not only that, do we have the campus, we also have the shrine of St. Mother Theodore there and the big church, the Church of the Immaculate Conception. So there are many good sites, but it's also just a place to come and be and feel, experience the presence of God.
Now, when did you happen to feel the call to be a sister?
Second grade.
You know, it's so funny that so many people that we talk to, priests and religious, they will say when they were really young, like maybe second grade or really young.
Exactly. You know, I was young. I wanted to go after eighth grade. They had an aspirancy then, which was a high school, and I am the third oldest of 11 children. My parents weren't quite ready for me to leave the household because I would have missed the birth of particularly my youngest brother. So it was a good thing because aspirancy closed 2 years after. If I would have gone at that time, I would have had to return back to Fort Wayne and go to Central Catholic High School. So I ended up going to CC, which we call Central Catholic. And went to college, so I kept kind of pushing God back, but, you know, ultimately God wins. There's always that battle and that struggle, and Then I actually entered and left because it was after Vatican II and a lot of changes. And then I felt I knew when I left I would return, and I came back because I can do a whole lot more of God's work in the context of a religious life. And it's helped me grow as a person more than anything else probably could have.
We're talking to Sister Carol Kimes, Director of Pastoral Care at St. Elizabeth Seton. I know that you run a lot of programs there, and we are going to talk about the Silver Lining program, but you want to talk about some of the other programs that you're doing there at St. Elizabeth Seton under the Pastoral Care umbrella?
Sure. You know, the Pastoral Care really opens the door to anybody that in need, so...
You don't have to have your Catholic card?
No, absolutely not. It's welcome to anybody. Probably one of the biggest is bereavement ministry. So I do that. Part of my background was that I was a hospice nurse at one point in time. And so I do the bereavement ministry. I'm also part of our health ministry. I'm trying to think what else I do. I do spiritual companioning. You know, the context of Silver Linings is very inclusive and intergenerational, so there's a lot of components that come with that.
I want to talk about the Silver Lining. I love that phrase and that title. For those people who may not know what that means, what does that general term mean when you find the silver lining, I guess?
Can I tell you a little bit of the background of that?
So sure.
It was kind of gives my history of why I'm doing the ministry that I'm doing. I ended up, after I was a formation director in my community for 7 years, I was doing that up in Chicago. I came back to Indianapolis to provide care for my parents. And my mom and dad, we relocated down to Indianapolis. My mom ended up being a bilateral amputee and on dialysis, and she died 4 years later than my father. I cared for him for 7 years. And after that, I really thought I was too old to go back into, quote, nursing. It's been quite a while. But I found from that experience that the church had a real void in terms of meeting the needs of the older population.
Mm-hmm.
And so, believe it or not, I was the condo where I was with my parents. I had a swimming pool, and I was there one summer day, and I was thinking, okay, where is God calling me? And Mother Theodore certainly planted the seed for me. She kept saying every ministry that I've had is preparing me for the next one. And caring for my parents opened the door for me to say the church has had a real void in terms of reaching the needs of people as they age and get older. And sometimes they end up become homebound, and then they feel abandoned by the church in many ways. So, you know, I was actually just praying and reflecting and had a conversation, and it was really my younger sister, who's also a nurse, who said, and I did not want to call it ministry for the elderly, because that can be offensive. Ministry for the mature, maturity has different meanings at different levels, and so silver linings, because there is truly a gift in aging.
Yep, I understand that entirely. When COVID first came around, you know, they were talking about who is most likely to get, and they were talking about the elderly, and I thought, yeah, well, okay, you know, sorry for the elderly. Then I realized, no, they're talking about me. You're right, that word has a little sensitivity to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Bridget, I was going to say it is sensitive, and so I thought I am one of them. I finally have arrived that I am one of them, and who best to know how to share what's going on and if you've walked the walk, you know, so I'm there.
So tell me a little bit about the purpose of the Silver Lining program, and did you initiate it, and how long has it been around there at St. Elizabeth Seton?
Actually, the purpose of the Silver Lining Ministry is to offer a holistic ministry to people who are in the second half of their life. And so that means physical, emotional, spiritual. And as we get older, our spiritual beings become larger and our physical beings become smaller. If you even think about it, watching people, there's a whole just different demeanor about it. But basically, we have six spiritual tasks in the second half of life. And they are learning to let go and let God. Have no regrets. What is our legacy? Not our financial, but what am I leaving the earth? What have I contributed to pass on to the next generation? Forgiveness is a huge one. because a lot of times people carry this baggage. And so how do we deal with it? It's all through a spiritual component. And then what's my purpose today? You know, as we age, we still have a purpose. And I think I visited a gentleman who was in his 90s, and it was some topic, and I went to visit him. I went to visit his wife, and he wasn't Catholic, but I asked him a question, and he just started to tear up, and he said, "Nobody's asked me what my opinion was in years," you know, because it's often discounted in our society, if you look at it. I mean, even technology kind of dismisses the older population and leaves them out. And then the final task, it's not final, but it's one encompasses it, all of those spiritual tasks, is solitude or a prayer life. And we can't do any of that without deepening our prayer life. So I really felt, having relocated my parents here, that there was a real gap, and we needed to really reach out and meet the needs of those in the second half of our life and focus on their spirituality and deepening their relationship for God, because this is what our goal is, mm-hmm. is to come to that point where we're going to meet God face to face. And am I ready to do that? What's the baggage I'm carrying with me that could prevent me from doing that?
Okay. So, now, Sister, is the Silver Linings program a one-of-a-kind program that exists only at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish, or is it a national program that Seton just participates in?
It's not a national program, although it may be around. I just don't know it anywhere else by another name.
Sure.
This is just going into our seventh year, and I had the notion and the vision and the dream, thanks to Mother Theodore again, calling me to go beyond, because I was 64 years old at the time, saying, really? I'm supposed to create something new at 64? But I did, and I reached out to St. Elizabeth Seton. Actually, I reached out to other parishes who weren't quite ready, and Father Ted Rothrock at the time says we absolutely need it. So, and the piece that he drew onto, and which is what I've noticed, is the component for intergenerational. So part mm-hmm. of that for our own community and what we've been able to offer, which COVID has kind of interrupted, is that we pair up the high schoolers with seniors and their prayer partners. And then the high schoolers have offered iPhone, iPad teach-ins. So people can bring their iPhones and iPads, because people find that the grandchildren don't pause and take the time. They'll do it for their grandparents, but they won't teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. So our high schoolers that participated would work with them one-on-one and give them the skills of how to connect and mm-hmm. what to do with their iPhone and iPad. Mm-hmm. So that was one piece. We also did an intergenerational breakfast, and the kids prepare the meal. They come, and they meet with their prayer partners, and we have a Jeopardy game, high schoolers against the Silver Linings. Right now, at this point where we are, the Silver Linings are ahead because there's wisdom, which ties into what is aging gracefully. There's wisdom with seniors who know and they're not cocky.
Uh-huh. So. Okay. Is this program available only to seniors at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, or do people from other parishes join you, or how does that work?
People from other parishes come. People who are not even Catholic come. Mm-hmm. It's open to anybody, you know, but understanding that it's based out of our Catholic faith.
Sure. And when do you meet?
You know what, we do not have a regular meeting time, we just have different events. So it's not like, oh, it's a club, it's what's the need at this time? So there's various things. We do days of reflection, and we also do, we have game day and a luncheon, which is now, we just restarted that after COVID, and it's the second Monday of the month. We offer a meal at lunch, it's at 1 o'clock, and we have all sorts of games, and it's a great connecting and energizing group. It's probably the largest group that's come back to us in terms of events since COVID, because we're so hungering for socialization.
We need to take a quick break. I think Jim's actually excited. I think that question that Jim had about can anybody come, I think Jim might be signing up, so you might see him over there. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Sister Carol Kimes, the Director of Pastoral Care, about the Silver Linings program. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a knight and be the difference. Learn more at kofc.org.
We are at a crossroads in our efforts to protect life here in Indiana. Recent court cases in Texas, recent laws being proposed in Washington, D.C., have made this a crisis point for the pro-life movement. This is Mark Tuttle from Right to Life of Indianapolis. I'd like to personally invite you to participate in this year's 40 Days for Life campaign. Through prayer, through fasting, and through community outreach, we can turn our city into a city of life. To sign up, visit 40daysforlife.com.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking by phone and Zoom with our guest, Sister Carol Kime. She is the Director of Pastoral Care at St. Elizabeth Seton, and we're talking about the Silver Lining Program. Before we got started and at the break when we were off the air, we chatted with Sister about the Order, the Sisters of Providence, and I know that there's kind of been, Jim and I had the impression that that order was no longer like active or accepting new postulants, but we found out that that's not accurate. So can you give us a little background on that?
Certainly, Bridget. Our community is accepting new members. Actually, this week we just accepted an individual woman, Leslie, as a postulant in our community. We had in August a sister who professed perpetual vows and another sister who professed perpetual vows. Now, we're not getting the numbers that people saw in the 60s or the late 50s, but we are getting 1, 2, 3. We had a discernment weekend last spring, and I think we had about 20 women interested. We have a discernment weekend coming up the weekend of October 1st, which is most of it's by virtual because of COVID. We always have to protect our sisters at the mother house who are aging, so that's one way to do it. But I think we have about 10 women who are coming to that weekend. So we are very much alive carrying the mission that Mother Theodore has given us to pass on from generation to generation.
Now, if somebody isn't available for one of those weekends where you're talking about, what would be the first step if somebody said, gee, I don't know, I just might be being called that direction. What would their first step be? Somebody listening said, maybe I do want to be a Sister of Providence.
I would encourage them to, first of all, go to our website, www.spsmw, which stands for Sister of Providence, St. Mary of the Woods, and that's .org. There's information on there. They could call the Mother House at 812-535-3131 and ask to speak to Sister Joni Waymer. Sister Joni is our vocation director. And actually, to talk to any Sister of Providence would lead them back.
You're all recruiting.
That's right. Okay. Now, because formation or a vocation is all of our responsibilities,
sure,
not just one person.
Sure. Now, for these young ladies who are entering the order now, what does their future look like? I mean, it used to be if you were a nun, it was assumed you were going to be a teacher, probably. What are these young ladies going to be doing as they progress in the order?
You know, well, we've each been given talents and skills. Well, let me backpack when I say Sister Joni Waymer. Sister Joni Luna, who is our vocation director, and she's the one who just took perpetual vows. In terms of ministries that people are doing, we all come with different talents and skills. So our current minister, we have a sister who is at St. Vincent's Hospital in Indianapolis, and she is finishing up her third year of residency as a doctor, a DO. She went to Marion University. We have somebody else who is working at the border over in Arizona. We have somebody else who's working with Network. She's out in Washington, D.C. So there's various ministries. It depends where their talents and calls, you know, where God is calling them to. So there's no limit as long as we're carrying the mission of Sisters of Providence forward.
And in talking about the process of becoming a sister, how long a process is that?
You typically have there's some discernment prior to entering, and you walk with a discernment guide, and then you enter, and your postulancy program, the postulancy program is usually 9 months to, it could be longer, but typically 9 months. Then a canonical novice, which is a year, and then a mission novice. And then after those 3 years, if you're ready and the community is ready, you are able to profess perpetual or profess first vows. And you can renew those vows, and this is all approved by Rome. You can renew those vows up to 6 years, and then you request to take perpetual vows, and you have a year of tertianship or preparation for that. So we have two sisters now who are in their tertian year.
Okay. Now, is all of that, those initial years done on campus at St. Mary of the Woods in West Terre Haute there? Or?
The Possessly year is housed there, and often they try to take people out to the ministries. Again, with COVID, it's a different package, picture today, different landscape. And their canonical novice year is there, which is real intense study. Or it has been. We've done some inter-community opportunities with that as well. The mission novice year is when they find a ministry and they go out and they get to integrate all that they've learned into the life to see what it's really like.
We have about 6 or 7 minutes left, and I want to, you had touched on the first half of the show, the 6 different areas that you really try to address with the Silver Lining Program. Could you go over those again?
Sure. The first one is letting go, letting God. So it's about deepening our trust with God. We often say we trust God, but do we really trust God? The other one is having no regrets. So look in our life and how do we try to let that go. What is our legacy? What are we leaving behind? What has God called us to? What are we continuing being called to? What's my purpose today? You know, we had a speaker come in, and she actually wrote a book prior to COVID. Barbara Lee came from New York. She was 80 years old, and she wrote a book, God Isn't Finished With Me Yet. And so we had a whole day of reflection with that.
I know her. We did a show with her. So in fact, as we were talking, I was thinking about mentioning her. So I didn't know you had her, but that's great.
Yes, we did. And we had probably about 100 and something parishioners come and participate in that day. So the identity of letting go, trusting God, and forgiveness is a big piece. Those regrets or people that we've held or harbored those forgivenesses, so we have to work through those in order to let go. Because, and I learned this as a hospice nurse, if people haven't forgiven people, that interferes with their quality of life at the end of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then solitude, which really encompasses all those, it's about deepening our prayer life with God. It's about learning how to be with God, to be in prayer, not to always talk. But, as you know, we are called human beings, not human doers. And so that first half of life, we're all about doing. And so how do we be? How do we be compassionate? How do we be the attitudes? And so it's learning to shift, and that's it. So, okay?
So you mentioned, I really like this idea of you're matching up the youth with, the more mature crowd. I'm curious what kind of feedback you've gotten from both, what they've kind of taken away from those experiences.
It's interesting. The very first person who was, I have a youth committee, we call them Silver Linings Youth Ministry Team,
uh-huh.
And they have come together to help me expand it and to promote it. And the first one that was on that committee just now got married, and I had dinner with her a couple of weeks ago, and how rich of an experience that was, and what wisdom, they share their wisdom with them, and how they have held on to what their partners, their wisdom figures in the parish have told them, and they're still taking it with them today. So
now,
that's just an example.
How do you recruit the young teenagers, I guess, that work with the program? How do you recruit them?
By through this committee, because I don't do all the social media, and so they know how to do that. They set it up, but we meet on a regular basis, and we have been, not with COVID again, but prior to that, and they do all the recruiting. And so I have gone to their youth group ministries and tried to promote it as well.
So how frequently are you doing the Jeopardy and or like the Day of Reflection? I mean, I know that since COVID, that schedule probably got disrupted and you're probably just kind of ramping up again. But just in terms of your vision, I mean, how often for like a Day of Reflection? And the Day of Reflection, is that primarily for the Silver Lining or is that like a joint with the youth again?
The Day of Reflection is for the Silver Linings. It's really hard with the youth because their lives are so busy.
Yeah.
So we do the breakfast once a year. They do the prayer time and contacting throughout the year. And the iPad teach-in that we've done has been twice a year. In terms of Day of Reflection, we do that typically once a year. This year, last year, I wrote for a grant from the diocese. And that grant had 3 prongs to it. One was a week or a retreat, so it was a 4-day virtual retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about several of the topics that I talked about. So we try to do at least a Day of Reflection once a year.
No.
We do a sing-along as well, and we do intergenerational, and we do songs from the past because mm-hmm. that triggers lots of fond memories for people.
Now, if somebody is listening right now, Sister, and said, You know, my parish is a long way from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. How might they start a program similar to that at their parish? Or are there some steps you'd recommend they do?
I would suggest that they first approach their leadership and see if they'd be willing to support that, and then get a core group of people together and see what the needs are of that particular parish, because it's not a program that is repeated year after year. It's what are the needs at the time. Mm-hmm. And ask them to do some collaborating that way.
Okay, and then call Sister.
And they can call me. I actually, a number of people have called me to talk and just brainstorm.
Now, I know that you have a little tab on the St. Elizabeth website, St. Elizabeth Seton website, for people to get some more information. I'm sure we have a lot of mature listeners, I should say, in our audience, and I'm sure not of them all go to St. Elizabeth Seton. So all are welcome, and you need not be Catholic even, correct?
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
So how can they find out? Can you give us the website so that they know where to go?
If you go to www.setoncarmel.org and you go under similar people up at the top, I believe the menu, you're talking to somebody who's not tech savvy, who's not on social media, mm-hmm. and then you go down and you'll see mature adults, and you can see some identification there. Or our phone number is there. You can always call, and I will respond.
What's it been like for you, Sister? We've got about 45 seconds left. Tell us what this has been like on your faith. What kind of impact has it had on your faith to be a part of this?
Well, as I'm walking with people, I'm going through the same journey. And, of course, it's calling me to a deeper relationship with God as well. And I cannot give away what I don't have, so I need to practice what I share. And so it is, I think more than anything, it's leading me to trust God more.
Oh, we can all do that, right?
Absolutely.
Our guest today has been Sister Carol Kimes, Sister of Providence and the Director of Pastoral Care. We've been talking about the Silver Lining Program. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. May God be with you, and may Providence be with you as well.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.